This is about Shirley Grammer. I'm Charlene Workman. I've taught at Regents for 10 years. I'm going into my 11th year. When I was first hired, I had only taught first grade. And when I was hired at Regents, they only had an opening for third grade. So I took the challenge and enjoyed it. But 2 years later, an opening came. So I got to come back to first grade. This is what I love to do. And I was thinking about the title of the conference is Recovering Truth, Goodness, and Beauty. And if we aren't able to, if our children aren't able to articulate that and speak well and write well, that's what grammar's about. And that's one of the reasons that I get excited about it. I'm going to give y'all some time to tell me in a little while how you, if you have any great ideas to make grammar fun and interesting. And that's, learning isn't always just fun, but if we keep them engaged and keep them excited about it, they're going to get more out of it. Let's just get started. We'll talk first about the advantages of Shirley. Shirley Grammar doesn't teach in isolated concepts. It shows each part of the English language and how it works together. It's not just learn about nouns, learn about verbs, all the parts of speech is how they work together. And in first grade is when Shirley starts. You start Shirley in first grade. And we start out very simply, and they're learning these chants and these rhymes and these jingles. And at first, they're just learning them because they're supposed to and it's fun. And they get to stand on their chairs when they say when they recite the jingles. It uses a variety of learning styles. There's visual, auditory, and then kinesthetic. And the more a little one can move around, the better they like it. They see the jingles on the board. They see the question for the sentences on the board for the question answer flow. They hear it and then they get to act it out. Because the jingles are repeated, and repetition is used for not only it's learned from it increases their memory and their mastery of the jingles. And they don't get it all at first. But if all you do is say this little noun floating around names a person, place, or thing, and you never ask them, okay, first graders, what is a noun? And at first of all, they just look at you like they don't have a clue. Say, what did you just say? And so then, oh, it's name of a person, place, or thing. Begin as early as you can to help them apply what they're learning, not just reciting. Because they can, I don't know about you, but when I recite, my mind can just be clicked off. So make sure that they're engaged in this. And chants and rhymes are characteristic of a grammar stage. And that's what makes this so applicable to classical education. And it is fun, at least for a while. The older they get, the cooler they get. And having a little noun floating around, naming a person, place, or thing, is probably not what a sixth grader likes to do. When I first came to Regents, we had a gentleman in sixth grade, and if I remember this right, I don't know how he did it, but he did the preposition blues, and they had their sunglasses, and I don't know if they had a hat, and they did the preposition blues, and they said, oh my God, and the sixth graders love that. One of the things I would encourage you not to do is have a third grade, you see something from an older grade that they're doing with the Shirley jingles. So you think that's very cool. I think I'll do that. Don't do that until they get to the grade, don't do the preposition blues till the children get to sixth grade, because the time they've done that, by the time they get there, they've already done it and they're ready to go on to something else. So don't steal the thunder of another teacher. If you're teaching third grade and you see something you like in second grade, you can use that because they've already been through that. It's laid out for the new teacher to follow, and it's very easy for a new teacher to follow. The teacher's edition is. Well, first of all, let me stop a minute. Who has never taught Shirley before? Oh, my goodness. Okay. Who is teaching first and second? Third and fourth? Fifth and sixth? Okay. Okay, I don't know if anybody would be in here in high school. I wouldn't think so. But it's laid out. They have a script for the teacher to follow, and it's easily followed if you can find it. But one of the things I would encourage you to do, what did I say? If you can find it. It is a little hard in there to find it, but it is in the book. But there's a lot of stuff in between it. Is to make it your own as soon as you can. John Milton Gregory from the Seven Laws of Teaching reminds us that unless we know it and unless we own it, we can't teach it. We can't teach what we don't have. So you can continue to teach right off of that script. But you're not going to be as effective as if you make it your own and you adapt it, not leaving the principles and not leaving the way Shirley Grammer does it, but making it fit your own personality and what your group needs that year. So keep that in mind. Everyone learns quickly. It is surprising when we start first grade and we start with the noun jingle, the sentence jingle, and the noun jingle, and then the verb jingle. And it is amazing to me how quickly these children can memorize that. And they can also then begin to classify sentences. One of the advantages I find personally with Shirley Grammer is my first graders are just starting to read. Well, some of them read better than others, but their reading comprehension and their fluency, we're still working on that. So when we have sentences on the board, not only do they get the chance to classify the sentences, they get a chance to read, to practice their fluency and to practice comprehension. And it helps them take those sentences apart and put them back together. And they do learn quickly. The question and answer flow develops correct thinking, sequential correct thinking. But one of the things that I found, even with first graders, is... I'm supposed to stay here, but I'll be back. Even though, I'm just going to use this for a minute. They catch on quickly. Children come. Who comes? Children. Subject noun. What's being said about children? Children come. So they know. They figure it out very soon. That all you have to do, you don't have to say those questions. You don't have to answer, you don't have to ask those questions and say the answer. All you have to do is touch down. You come down here. Oh. So we learn that that's the subject noun. Then they'll just go. They know that's an article adjective, probably an adjective is here, subject noun, verb. They don't even go over the question anymore. Couple of things I do. One of them, I have my children line up with their books after they've done the it's called a group test, the worksheet and the workbook. And then they don't know what sentence I'm going to ask them to classify. So maybe we'll have four. The bears ran quickly, even to begin with, because they may know the question answer flow, but then they get really cocky and then they just leave it off. So you have to make sure that they're saying the question answer flow. You have to do that or they're just wasting their time. And one day I put like a pattern four sentence with an indirect object and a direct object on the board. And of course they're little first graders and their eyes were bigger than they were. I said, you think you can, I could never do that. I could never do that. And I said, yes, you can. And I said, but you can't do that one until you do this one right. So whatever works for you, make sure that they are saying the question answer flow, and they can be saying it because you do it as a group on the board, and that's a group work. If little Joey is having a hard time with Shirley Grammer, it's done in a group, so all he has to do is follow along, and he doesn't really necessarily know it yet. So there's a lot of group work done, which is good. And one of the things I do is if little Joey is not paying attention, or if little Joey doesn't know, I don't think he's quite he's not readily able to do Shirley on his own yet. I will call him up to the board. And, of course, you know, when little ones are called up to the board, they grow inches before your eyes, right? And then they get to come up to the board. The whole class is staying, but mark and label the sentence. And that engages them, and it also teaches them. And one of the things that the advantages of Shirley is it's practiced and practiced and practiced and practiced. And if you say, well, my kids know the jingles and we don't need to really practice those sentences on the board, you're wrong, because they do. They'll forget it. They can know it. And I have some first graders, five of my first graders from last year are going to come and show you how we do Shirley jingles in just a little bit. But we went through them. We went out on the patio a while ago and just went through them. It's been 4 weeks since they've done any chants and jingles. Because you know that they have probably lost some of it. You have to keep doing it. Of course, second grade will reinforce what we did in first grade. They'll start over again. But you can't say, oh, they know the jingles. And of course they know the question and answer flow. They forget it. You have to make sure they're doing it. And you do it. You practice it and you practice it. One of the things I enjoy doing is integrating the, when I first start out at the beginning of the year, it's like dogs run, cats sit, and we do it with just those, just what's in the book. But then as the children become more confident and more relaxed in what they're doing, I will take a sentence from history. I will take a sentence from science or from Bible that we did that morning. Or I will personalize it and put their name in it. And they love that. They love that, and they love coming to the board. They also love, after we learn the jingles, I stand back and they come up and lead them. And that helps engage. I use those that are really good at it and those that need help. One of the things you could, I'm supposed to stand here, but I got to come over here. For example, when it talks about children coming, you could write, we studied American history, and we studied the animal kingdom in science. So you could write frogs, they really do like that. You could do the speed well, also reinforcing what you've learned in history. Some insects fly. So let's put that up here and do it. Some insects fly. Five and happy and six, and you give them some, and it'll really make them think. So get out of the box. And another one would be tadpoles swim. Captain Smith worked hard. Captain John Smith worked hard. Butterflies travel south for the winter. Pilgrims sailed at first. And then when you learn prepositional phrases, you can do pilgrims sailed to Holland. What are the nouns in this sentence? And they'll say pilgrims and Holland. Are those common or proper? You take that sentence all apart, and you underline the complete subject, the complete predicate. And this probably takes maybe 20 minutes if you do it well. And sometimes if I see little Ben is not listening so carefully, I will put on the board, the thoughtful boy listened carefully to directions. I know it doesn't work so much for the older kids, but it really does. I mean, I don't know if it does, but it might not work as well. And then I put underneath that, instead of the thoughtful boy, I write, that thoughtful Ben listened carefully to directions. And that's the little boy who's looking out the window. And pretty soon, he's not looking at the window. His name is on the board, and he wants to do this. So another way to integrate it through the through the curriculum is to do Bible, whatever you studied in Bible that morning. Where's my sentence? Moses prayed for the people. Who prayed for the people? Moses. Subject noun. What's being said about Moses? Moses prayed. Verb. To, preposition. To what? People. Object to the preposition. The, article, adjective. Moses is a common proper noun, and he's singular. People are plural, and it's a common noun. So you just want to engage them, and you'll find that they really, really do like that. So you're accomplishing a few things with Shirley. You're learning grammar. You're reviewing facts across the curriculum that you're studying, and you're increasing reading fluency and reading comprehension. That's all in one subject, and I think that's very, very exciting to me, especially for first graders. I lost my other sheet. Here are some. One of the things that I do is I don't really use those. I write my sentences on the whiteboard with one color marker, Expo marker, and then I'll give them, if I've written it in black, I'll give them a green one, and then they will classify it and circle their nouns with green, and it's visual, and it helps them see better. They don't want to quit. When you're making original sentences, they just want to keep on going. Give them accountability. When we were doing writing one day, a little boy came up, and I don't remember what the sentence was, but it wasn't a complete sentence. And I said, well, Luke, can you tell me what's wrong with this sentence? And he just looked at me. And I said, well, 5 simple rules. He said, oh, Mrs. Workman, he said, this isn't grammar, this is writing. I said, I know it is, but that's why we do grammar. And it was like, oh, now I get it. Oh, Mrs. He just laughed. Oh, Mrs. Workman, this isn't grammar, this is writing. I will never forget that. It was really funny. We do contractions in grammar. So then when we do spelling, I will say, okay, write the word was not. How many words is that? Now write its contraction. So bring it across the board. And at first they think that's grammar. Why are you doing that? But my class gets used to it, and they know that's what I'm going to do. The child comes to the board, and the students do it together. Always make sure that they are, I'm going to just say this again, make sure that they're saying that question-answer flow. Because unless they're required to do it, they're going to take the easy way out, which basically they're going to end up putting the subject noun. Sometimes you can catch it, but sometimes they're smart enough to figure out that's a noun, that first noun must be a subject noun. So make sure that you're checking that. Give them accountability. Make sure that they are applying what they've learned. One of the things I do is I give them an oral sentence to classify during the day. If we're lining up for recess, I might say the class went happily to recess. At first, I would probably say the class laughed. And then I'll add the next day. As they get accustomed and more comfortable, then they can do them orally. And that's a lot of fun. The class ate, when the class ate noisily at lunch. And that's a way to keep doing it all day long. Don't stay with it. There are other things you do. But this this may take 30 seconds to do it. And they enjoy doing it. We can't teach what we don't have. If you just do it from the script and you don't buy into what Shirley is and you don't understand it, and it takes a little while. The first year I was at Regents, that book was my best friend because I didn't know the jingles. I mean, I had listened to them on the tapes that's given to us. But I relied heavily, heavily on the teacher's edition. But later I just pull out now what lesson we're on, but I've done it for a long time. So just make it your own. And when you enjoy it, the children are going to more likely enjoy it. If you think, now I am really not sure, and I may ask one of our sixth grade teachers here, how in the world do you do this little noun floating around, Nancy Lockett? Do y'all not do it? How do you do that? It's this little noun floating around, names a person, place, or thing with a knick-knack, tatty-whack, these are English rules, isn't language fun and cool. I can't quite see a fifth or sixth grader enjoying that. Oh, they still do, they, so they do. They're not as old as they think they are, but they, oh, it still works then, huh? Okay, that's good to know, because I always wondered doing this little pronoun floating around. They won't admit that they like them, right? Yeah. I'm sorry? Well, it's not. It does add to it. You're right. But it's still this little noun, isn't it? Oh, it's different. I taught third grade. You'd think I would remember that. Oh, but third grade. Yeah, I think I do remember that. So it does change. But you still have to keep it interesting, and you have to keep them engaged, or you'll lose them. I want to save some time for y'all to tell me some of this stuff that you're so good at and how you get them. Like Nancy Lockett just said, she calls some of them up there and they get to pick which one they do. But we have a very special treat right now. I'm going to show you, this is first grade, but I'm going to show you how we do jingles. And it's according to your personality. I can't see a child enjoying a sentence, sentence, sentence. It's complete, complete, complete. When five simple rules, it meets me. I mean, I would get bored. So find a way that with a grade level twist, like the preposition blues with the sunglasses, that's going to make your kids as excited as they can be about grammar. And they don't have to enjoy classifying the sentences on a piece of paper, but because the sentences in the book are not original. They're not according to the what you're studying. And mix it up. Make it a little bit harder than you think they can do, because they can probably do it. And I'm waiting on my little darlings to come in. They're a little bit nervous, so... Anybody else can tell me while we're waiting some of the things that y'all do to keep Shirley active and...
I teach third grade. I challenge my students because they loathe classifying. And I said, as soon as everybody can, on a test, classify all the sentences correctly and stop. So I challenge them, if they can do 100% on their classifications on their tests, we'll quit. Because that's you showing me that you know how to do it.
So you don't think they'll forget it?
We never got there.
There you go. They rose to the challenge. I was going to say, my goodness, they rose to the challenge. Because third grade does pattern two, pattern three. Do four? No. Okay. Yes. Sure. About 20 minutes. The years in the past, first grade set aside 20 minutes four times a week. But we're getting a little more, we're getting a bigger math program. It's going to take more time for math. So I'm thinking three times 20 minutes. But I would say 20 minutes a week. And here they come. Courtney Mosier. This is Luke Bouchard. I know I can't say it. It's a French name. Okay, Sissy, let's get you like this. Come here. Noah Winland, his brother was Preston. And Kirsten Pharaoh. Can y'all see him? If you can't, maybe you could stand or whatever, stand up or whatever. And I am going to sit right over here, and if you need any help, you look at me, but I'll just tell you when to do it, okay? You got to speak very loudly, okay? Because they want to hear you all the way to the back.
A sentence is complete, complete, complete. When five simple rules it meets, 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 it has a subject, 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 and a verb, verb, verb. Makes sense, sense, sense with every word, word, word. Add a capital letter, letter, and an end mark, mark. Now we're finished, and aren't we smart? Now our sentence has all its parts. Remember, subject, verb, complete sense, capital letter, and an end mark, too. That's what a sentence is all about.
Or thing with a knick-knack, paddywhack. These are English rules. Isn't language fun and cool? This little pronoun floating around takes the place of a little noun with a knick-knack, paddywhack. These are English rules. Isn't language fun and cool? An adverb modifies a verb. An adverb asks how, when, where. To find an adverb, go, ask, if. Where do I go? To a verb. What do I ask? How, when. Where? Define it. An adverb. That's what. An adjective modifies a noun. An adjective asks what kind, which one, how many. Define an adjective. Go, ask, it. Where do I go? To a noun. What do I ask? What kind? Which one? How many? What do I get? An adjective. That's what. A prep, prep, preposition is a special group of words that connects a noun, 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 or a pro, pro, pronoun to the rest of the sentence.
Dum-dee-dum-dum.
An O-P is a N-O-U-N or a P-R-O. After the P-R-E-P is a S-C-N-T-E-N-C-E. Dum-dee-dum-dum-dum. We are the article adjectives, teeny tiny adjectives, A and D. We are called article adjectives and noun markers. We are memorized and used every day. So if you spot us, you can mark us with the label A. We are the article adjectives, teeny tiny adjectives, A and D. A and D.
The verb jingle, we talk about being cowboys and cowgirls, and we've been on the trail. And where do you eat on the trail, boys and girls? Tell me something.
Cold beans.
What else? Beef jerky.
What else? Biscuits.
Cold biscuits. Been on the fire forever. What else?
Soup.
Soup.
Cowboy suit. What's your mattress?
The ground.
The ground. What's your pillow?
The saddle.
And what's your ceiling?
The stars.
The stars. All right, two dusty coughs because you've been on the trail. Picture being in.
Shows action, there's no doubt. It tells what the subject does by sing and shout. Action verbs are fun to do. Now it's time to name a few. So clap your hands, join our rhyme. Say those verbs in record time. Wiggle, jiggle, turn around. Raise your arms and stomp the ground. Shake your finger and wink your eye. Wave those action verbs goodbye.
Okay. And one more little treat for you. I've got to find it. Okay, they have done sentences like this, but they haven't seen these. So they're going to classify for us. So if y'all want to, let's see, let's go back about here a little bit, okay? Y'all scoot right back here. Turn around, you got to see the overhead, okay? Let's see. Scoot over. Let's see. Come over here. You two boys, come over this way. Come on, Noah. Okay, let's do one at a time. Okay? Ready?
The brave general rode silently on the icy river. Who rode silently on the icy river? General, subject noun. What's being said about general? General rode. Verb. Rode how? Silently. Adverb. On preposition. On what?
On what?
River. Object of the preposition. What kind of river? Icy. Adjective.
What is it?
Adjective. The article adjective. What kind of general? Race. Adjective. The article adjective.
Let's do that question again. Gallop how?
Quickly. Adverb. To preposition. To what? Concord. Object of the preposition. What kind of men? Brave. Adjective. How many men? Two. Adjective.
Okay. Tell me something in the first sentence. What's the, I'm going to underline the complete subject once. So tell me what it is.
The brave general.
What's my complete predicate?
Rode silently on the icy river.
Okay. What are the nouns in this sentence? Tell me the first noun you see. Real loud.
General.
Okay. Is general common or proper?
Common.
Common, right. Is it singular or plural?
Singular.
Does anybody see another noun?
River.
River. Is river common or proper?
Common.
Is it singular or plural?
Singular.
Okay, what about this one? What are the nouns in this sentence?
Men.
Real life, men. Okay. Is men common or proper?
Common.
Be real careful on this one. Is man singular or plural?
Plural.
Plural. Very good. Okay. Give me another noun in that sentence. Does it have another one?
Concord.
Is it common or proper?
Proper.
Proper. Real loud. Say it loudly.
Proper.
Is it singular or plural?
Singular.
So a subject noun always has to be a noun. And an object of the preposition always has to be a
noun.
Thank you very much. Are they smart? They like doing it because it's fun. We have a little time for questions and answers, and we also have some time for y'all to share some ideas that you use. So I really want your ideas. Anybody have any? Sure you do. You've taught. You do right back there. Please stand up and say it real loud. Oh. I don't know. We don't. Okay, number one, we don't do the writing part of Shirley. I did forget to tell you that. Regents doesn't do the writing part of Shirley. We do the question-answer flows. We do contractions. This year we're going to work on sentence fragments, which we haven't accomplished, which we haven't done before. Plurals, possessives, synonyms, anonyms, not plural possessive. I'm sorry, that's wrong. Plural singular. I'm sorry. Plurals and singulars. I'm sorry. Well, we've adopted a new writing program this year, and Schaefer writing. So we don't use, that's a very good question. I forgot to tell you that. We don't use it. And you could do it 4 times a week is what we've done before. So, oh, good.
For the second jingle, I use clapping rock rhythm with my students so they get better in pairs.
Come show us. Come show us. I don't know. Okay, tell me what to do.
A sentence, sentence, sentence is complete, complete, complete. When 5 simple rules, it meets, meets, meets. It has a subject, subject, subject. Verb, verb, verb. It makes sense, sense, sense.
That's
with
good.
Every word, word, word. Add a capital letter, letter, and an N, mark, mark. Now we're finished, and aren't we smart? Now our sentence has all its parts. Remember, subject, verb, complete sentence.
Oh. Letter, letter, and mark.
And mark two. That's what a sentence is all about.
Perfect. I like that. That is good. Then they do it with pairs, and they like that a lot, don't they? They like work anytime they can work with a friend. They like that. I like that a lot. Anybody else? I know you have... Nobody else does it as any fun things. Yes. Don't be, if you don't have to come up here if you don't want to. Okay. Oh, okay. Classify it, you mean? Uh-huh. Oh, wow. This is fourth grade? One of the things that Shirley tells us to do, and, you know, I just may have some real disobedient little kiddos, I don't know. But, you know, when you make your own originals, when you make your practice and improve sentences, you're supposed to start with the, I'm trying to find the you're supposed to start with the, subject noun and verb first.
If you do the article adjective, this is first grade. I know third, fourth grade, you do the second, that's the best.
is to start with the subject noun and then pick the verb. But you've got to watch the students because they will start with what? Article, adjective, and work it across. That's not developing, helping them to develop that critical thinking that you want them to develop and that sequential. So be careful when you do that. Anyway, that was just off the top of my head.
Anybody else?
Right.
And that age, you're just beginning to become aware of boys versus girls.
Uh-huh.
And so often I will do something like the verb jingle. I have 4 rows in my classroom traditionally every year. And so I never do it like the first or second quarter when the year's being set up, but the third and the fourth, when you begin to worry that it's becoming a little tired, is each row does a line and it has to be consistent, meaning that they have to be one right after the other. And that takes more concentration, and then they're back into it with you.
I've done that before, and that does work.
I also do a lot of that. I have all the students' names on popsicle sticks, and so they'll get to pick their name out of the popsicle stick, their name, and then they get to choose the jingle of the day. And then everybody gets to choose a different jingle again. They're picking, nobody can duplicate, or not. Also, because of time, we're all
That's good.
You always want to do the longest ones.
Because they're up there doing it.
The boys do one, the girls do the other, and then they always want to see who can do better. And then the fourth quarter, the one last thing I do is they have a tendency once they know them to speed them up. Is I look for and report not with candy, not with toys or anything like that, just acknowledgement from their teacher who can do it the most accurately. Not too slow, not silly, not too fast, because it's that other students in younger years are listening to see if you're doing it correctly.
You teach fourth?
A third.
Third, you teach third.
Those are some of the things that I do.
That's good.
Just to keep it new and different.
Right, right. And one of the things that I heard a teacher say once, was she doesn't do the jingles anymore, or they don't classify sentences on the board anymore because they know it. Well, that's why I was tutoring this one little boy in that class, was because maybe a few of them would retain it, but probably not. I don't think I could retain anything year after year unless I was reviewed. These little children only had 4 weeks that they haven't been doing it, and you can already begin to see it slipping a little bit. So don't think because they know the jingles you don't have to do them. They know how to classify a sentence. They did, and they will if you keep practicing. You can't just practice. They learn it, then you're finished. You've got to keep doing it. Yes. I'm sorry. No, first grade doesn't do that. I did that. I'm sorry. Go ahead. So you say it at the end of when you say declarative sentence.
We actually start out with classifying the sentence because of that. We start out with in mark club first because that tells us whether or not it's an imperative sentence and whether or not we're going to look for.
And what grade do you teach?
Fifth grade.
Okay.
And then with the interrogative sentence, we say look for a helping verb.
Mm-hmm. Right, that's good. And see, she's made it her own. She knows what it works. She knows the curriculum. She knows what works. And she's figured out for her grade level what's going to work. And that's really good. Yes. Yeah, I don't. Do you want to come on up here or not?
On the inherited sentences, we do the, well, on all of our sentences, we do the inherited
Does that make sense? Okay, anybody else? This is good. Nobody else has anything. Yes. Would you stand up so we can hear you? Did you have bags for each one?
No, I would go around and they would touch it. So the goal would be that they would try to figure out what it was, what the noun was, and their goal also would be to come up with the adjectives for the noun. So they might say,
that is for. Boy, that is good. That makes.
And it kind of makes it a little more exciting than trying to get them to, you know, kind of get involved.
Engaging them. Uh huh. Very good. When we do, sometimes when we're reading, we'll read first grade, third grade, you know, the higher you go, the more you can read, the higher grade you have. But we'll maybe read a little paragraph, and I'll say, okay, in the first sentence, who can tell me what the nouns are? Now, it probably won't be where a first grader can classify the sentence, but then they can pick out the nouns in what we're reading. Pick out the verbs. Pick out the verb. Do you see any adjective in this sentence? Any adverbs? We'll read maybe a psalm, which when we read psalms is on Thursday in Bible time. So I read it later, first grade, I don't have any idea what they're reading, but they like to go around and read it. And then we'll read it together, and every time they hear a preposition. Now, first grade has a limited amount of prepositions that we know. I mean, there's few. We have what's called, what is he, Super Mouse? And it's in the book, and he flies over the cheese, under the cheese, in the cheese, at the cheese. So every time they hear a preposition, they get to stand up and sit back down. So, but you have to monitor that, because some of the boys will be standing up when they're not, you know, when they're not supposed to. But that works. I like the box. I like these ideas. Somebody else has some good ones. I know you do. Nancy. I know her. That's the reason she comes.
I will go to the door and I will say, did you see that the bird just flew across the room? And then everybody has to tell me where the bird went. And you can't describe that without being a preposition.
Mm-hmm. The little kid doing it at the board doesn't know it anyway. They do love to find mistakes. Sometimes I'll classify a sentence wrong And they go, oh, Miss, what's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? Because that gives them proofing skills, which is good. Yes. Would you stand up and say that real loud, very loudly?
If you have a child who joins, I think this is the first year, mm-hmm. the second year, do you try to bring them up to speed, or do you try, you know, what do you do with a child who has not been exposed to this?
Well, one of the things we do in the summer, we have what we call summer readiness. And they can't learn everything, but they're exposed to the Shirley Jingles during summer readiness. It's a week. Is it a week? It's a week. And then when they start reciting it, you can send home the jingles. But when they start just standing it up and reciting it in the class together, these kids are going to get it so quickly. Because it's done as a group, there's no intimidation. For example, you're new and you don't know it. Well, there's no intimidation because everybody's saying it, and you just kind of pick up and follow along. That's the best. And sometimes I've worked, well, see, it doesn't work. It doesn't happen in first grade because we start jingles in first grade. But when I taught third grade, we just had a tutoring session in the afternoon. But they catch on so quickly that it's just amazing to me how fast they can do it and how fast they can catch on. A lot faster than I could do it if I had to, you know, if I was a student now. Anybody else? Yes.
Probably everybody already does this, but I cut CDs for all the kids.
Oh, no.
So that they have their own CD of all the jingles, and they can practice with the CD. And that seems to really help.
Who says that, just from the tape? Or do you?
We get CDs with the newest version of Shirley. It comes on CD. And
oh. What grade do you teach?
Third,
I'm sorry. Oh, that's a great idea. The new Shirley has comes on a CD, huh? Okay. That's a very good idea. The less intimidated they are, the less pressure they feel, the quicker they're going to learn it. If they don't have any, if they feel good about what, I don't care what grade level they are, if they feel good about what they're doing, they're going to get it faster than if you just push them and push them and push them. Because this is something, because it's repetitive, they're going to get. But the CDs are good. I've had parents ask me, how can we practice in the summer? And that would be a great idea if they had a CD. You know, just listen to your CD. Yeah. And in second grade, no one's probably going to do a verb shows action. But you can tweak it to make, we don't change the words. Don't, when you're doing this and you're doing it for your own grade level twist, just don't change the words and do it however you want to. Anybody else? Yeah. That was for y'all. Normally, I just write them on the whiteboard. I'm sorry. Do they see the jingles? You could do that. Yeah, first grade would get lost in trying to read it at first rather than just memorizing it. So I don't do that for first grade. We used to have a flip chart, and I'd pull the sentence. The first year I taught first grade, it was already in there for me. But I realized at that age level, they were so trying to figure out the words that they were missing something. So we just do it without any words. Does that make sense? And by third grade, they know a lot of them. Second grade, they add possessive pronoun adjective and possessive noun adjective. And yeah. They are in the back of the student workbook, yes. And they're in the, yeah. You open it up to that. In first grade, it does more damage than it does good because they're concentrating on the words. But the jingles are in the back, along with all the reference material when you study contractions and possessives and not possessives. Singular and plural and possessives too, I guess. But make Shirley fun for as long as you can. And sixth graders, it can still be fun. That's good to know. That's good to know that the older ones can still have fun with it. Because my kids just love it. They can't wait to do it. We do the original sentences on the board, And, you know, if you start using their names in a sentence, take a little bit extra time for Shirley, because you can't, there's no way. I said, look, I remember whose name I didn't use this today, and we'll use it tomorrow. They just love it. Susie snoozed in the chair. Well, that's just the funniest thing they've ever done. If your name is Susie, and they're all looking at Susie and laughing, they love it. And they can't wait to do it. Make it, I mean, that's first grade, but, you know, that's what I teach. Make it fun. Yes. When they first start, I do. And that Shirley suggests that you do it that way. I want to see what they know on their own. So unless it's just a particularly hard, like when we first start using the word away for an adverb, because it won't be, I'm going to say, this doesn't tell you how, does it? What does it tell you? When or where? But I don't go over it every time before we do it. I really want to see what they know. And so at first I do, but we don't use those sentences. We're using other ones. So that's like making them really think. Good. They do. They want you to sit. Yeah. That's like having the students come up and do it. And they love that. You know, you can't do, I have 14 students. So I may have three up at one time. But if they don't get to do it, they will tell you the next time that they didn't get to do Shirley on Wednesday. So thank y'all. I hope it helped. And thank you.